On this episode, we're talking about the reopening of Walt Disney World. This is episode 294 of the Main Street Magic Podcast. Hello and welcome to another episode of Main Street Magic. I'm your host, Jeremy Stein, and I'm joined by my lovely wife, Rhonda.
Hey, guys.
Make sure you check us out on the web at mainstmagic.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter at mainstmagic. If you've not done so already, head out to Facebook and search for the Capture the Magic community and ask to join. And as far as our new schedule on the Capture the Magic network goes, on Mondays, you're going to get the Capture the Magic Universal podcast. On Tuesdays, you got Rhonda and I with Main Street Magic. Wednesdays is Jared and I with the Diz Dudes, and on Thursdays, we have Capture the Magic with Jared and Jamie Lee. And coming soon will be a Club 32 exclusive show every Friday. If you want even more content, including Diz Dudes Live, in-park and resort live streams, not only from the opening of Walt Disney World, but Universal Studios as well, you want CTM at the movies, 20% off all CTM network merchandise, and so much more, check out Club 32 at ctmvip.com. And if you're getting ready to book your next Walt Disney World trip, as 2020 and 2021 vacations are open, not only for tickets, but for resort stays and all, you want to go ahead and reach out to ZippityDoo.travel. They're our trusted source for your next Disney or Universal vacation. If you go to travelwithzip.com, you can fill out a quick form, let them know what you're looking to do. They're going to give you a free quote, and then they're going to go ahead and help you get booked. They're going to get you the best rate, answer questions, help you plan. All of that is at no additional cost to you. And finally, if you want the best in theme park-inspired coffees, teas, and merchandise, go to expeditionroasters.com and use code CTM15 at checkout to save 15% off your entire order. This is going to be an interesting episode. We are coming, well, not coming to you live when you listen to it, but at recording live. That's a good way. That's a good way to record, is when you're live. Alive, I guess.
Yeah. But,
so we are, if this sounds a little bit different, we're using a slightly mobile setup as we are at Town Place Suites at Flamingo Crossing off Western Way, about 3-4 minutes from Coronado Springs. It is Sunday evening. We have spent the weekend at Disney, had a little fun, and decided we would do one more night so we can go enjoy some Disney Springs with some friends we've been hanging out with tonight. But we wanted to go ahead and get this episode out. So we're using a mobile setup. If things sound a little bit different. But we really want to talk about the opening of Walt Disney World and everything that we've experienced over the past 3 days as we came down Friday morning.
Yes.
So let's start with check-in. Why don't you talk about us getting up Friday morning and coming on down and heading straight to Pop Century before we headed to the annual pass holder preview. How was all that?
Well, it was great. We got up and got the girls ready and we headed on to Pop Century, and we needed to stop by Pop Century first because, first of all, the girls sometimes don't like to go, and second of all, we actually didn't have them on our pass holder preview reservation.
Yeah.
So we needed to put them in the room, which they were so beyond happy to do. So actually driving down, some weird Florida, not normal weather is raining during the morning times. Mm-hmm. So we got there and it was raining. So I dropped Jeremy and the girls off and I had my rain boots and an umbrella. So I parked to walk in. And
you're always prepared.
I'm always prepared because it's Florida and that's what happens. It rains sometimes. So I walk in and they are the only three people besides workers in the lobby.
Yeah. And as we walked in, as Rhonda dropped us off, we walked in through and there were cast members lined up welcoming us. Well, first of all, coming through the security gate, the two words that I think were the best thing to hear in the past 4 months was the security guard telling us welcome home.
Yeah, that was cool.
And so as we walked through the lobby, it was the same thing. It was welcome home, welcome home. They were applauding It was amazing. Yeah, and you could, you know, we talked about like when we went to Disney Springs for opening, you know, you could see their smiling eyes.
Yes.
Which was the best.
Absolutely.
And a trend of what will happen through the entire weekend is finding how incredibly happy cast members are to be back.
Yes.
And, you know, I understand that people are getting back to work after being out, and they're very excited to be back to work, and they're excited to be having that paycheck and that income.
Right.
But every cast member that I think we came in contact with this weekend, it seemed that they were so happy to be back for guests.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? It wasn't like, oh my God, I'm so glad to be back. It's been tough being cooped up in the house for 4 months and not getting a paycheck from Disney. It was straight up, we are so glad to be back with
guests.
That's
exactly how I felt.
Oh, of
where
course.
I was happy to be back at work, but I was also happy to see my guest and to do their hair.
Yeah.
So I think they just felt the exact same way.
Agreed.
So anyways, so we went to check in, and like I said, we were the only four in the lobby, and our room was for sure 100% ready.
Yes, it was. Nobody had been in it for 4 months, yep. So that part was good.
So,
one thing to note, you know, unlike Universal, is they're not doing any temperature checks at the resorts.
Correct.
None whatsoever.
Nope.
Which I find a little interesting, but I think it's, I think it's on such a grand scale. I personally think that they would be okay not only doing temperature checks at the resort, and maybe you don't do the wristband situation that Universal is, because there's so many different scenarios of going to a resort and then getting to a park or Disney Springs or another resort. But I don't think it would hurt to double up on those checks and do them not only at the resort, but even if they did them again at the park.
Correct.
So it was one of the things that was a little bit different than what we'd seen at Universal. Something else was, and this is the only thing that really ticked me off about the whole thing and weekend. They are still charging a parking fee. I just am surprised because when you looked at the parking lot, there's like no cars.
Well, so is Universal.
I know.
So
I agree.
Were you not mad that Universal?
No, I'm mad that anybody charges a parking fee. I don't care for anyone charging a parking fee. There's no need. Here we are at Town Play Suites, no parking fee. But right. I don't know, it was one of those things where just all of a sudden it was like, really, guys, you can't go ahead and lift that parking fee for a little bit? Like, you're not hurting for space. Let's say that.
No, they weren't.
No, they were not at all. So we went ahead and we got everything in the room. They are still doing bell services.
Yes, they are. And because it was raining, which we don't usually opt for, we did opt for this.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, now I'm really, really happy we did. For one, because I don't think we've ever stayed preferred pop.
Yeah.
So this was our first time, and it was weird because I didn't know where to park.
Yeah.
But like I said, so I'm really glad that we did bell service because you know, we got it all out under the cover, and then the guy actually asked Jeremy, do you mind if I touch your bags?
Yep. Yeah, so it was, and that was my question. I mean, they had the carts out there, and I was like, are you guys able to do bell service? He said, yeah, of course we are. He said, there's a couple things that have changed, and, you know, yeah. One thing was, as I started to get the bags out of the trunk, he was saying, is it okay if I touch your bags? I said, of course it is. Michael, he was wonderful. And we had chatted while Rhonda was getting ready to pull up. And we were, again, everybody's just so happy to be back. And so he got everything, loaded them up. And then he said, here's another thing that has changed. If you're okay with me doing it the old school way, where I write down and hand you a physical ticket, basically that he's touched, they can do that.
Right.
If not, they will allow you to take a photo of the cart to document all the items that are on it.
Right.
I said, of course, a ticket is fine. You know, I mean, we're basically squirting, taking sanitizer showers at this point all the time. So I wasn't too worried about it. So I said, yes, of course, you know. So he writes down all the items, hands me the ticket, and he said, the only other thing that is different is that you have to be in the room to accept your bags. You know, you cannot be missing and us just go ahead and come in and leave them. I said, that's fine. You know, we're not going to worry about it. We're gonna be in the room. Are you guys probably going to come pretty soon? He's like, yeah. I mean, because There's nobody like was eight there. People here at this point, I feel like.
Yeah.
We're probably one of the first half a dozen guests to check in at Pop Century that morning.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I would guess. So get back to the room, call, and Michael is there within, I don't know, 5 minutes.
Which I was really glad because Jeremy actually forgot to tip him when we...
I'm so bad at that. Do you tip both times? Which I'm perfectly fine with, but I always forget to tip when you leave it with them because it's not always the same person.
Right, that's why I would say
that brings
yes,
the
you do.
So you should both times.
Yes, I would say like just a couple of dollars.
Yeah.
$2, $3, $4.
Usually a dollar per bag is what I feel like the norm is.
Okay, well, like I said, a few dollars. Okay. And if it just happened to be the guy again, he'd get more money.
Mm-hmm.
But I was happy that it was the same guy because Jeremy forgot to tip him.
Yes.
So, yeah. So anyways, we called and got our luggage. And we then said, okay, girls, enjoy the day because we're going to go to Magic Kingdom.
Like, peace out.
Yep.
Or Magic Kingdom.
They were very happy. Okay. We were happy. So then we had to drive to Magic Kingdom.
Why, Rhonda? Why would we drive to Magic Kingdom, which is something we never, ever, 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 ever do?
Well, because there was absolutely no transportation, period.
Yeah. And we weren't sure what would happen if we maybe tried an Uber.
Right.
I have a feeling that would have been cut off a bit.
I feel like that would have been bad.
Yeah.
So we drove to Magic Kingdom, and we parked in the parking spot. And there are also no trams. So, good thing we were in Zurg, which was still a little while of a walk.
Yeah, wasn't too bad.
Not bad.
Yeah.
And then, so we walked, and we went through the temperature screening and the new bag check. If you have a metal water bottle or an umbrella, it needs to be taken out of your bag. And that's it.
Yep.
The rest should just walk right through.
Right through with your bag.
Yep.
So no more individual. And as far as, and we'll talk about Animal Kingdom in a bit. As far as Magic Kingdom look, the machines, the metal detectors appear to look the exact same.
Yes.
But I believe that they have done some sort of upgrades that are able to pick out certain items.
Well, I would hope so.
Such as phones and things like that.
I would hope so.
Seamless.
Oh, it was
smooth.
Amazing.
Incredibly much better process than a security guard having to dig through your bag all the way down to the bottom.
Yep.
So that part I really, really liked. And we had taken the ferry boat over. Ferry boat and monorail were running from TTC.
Yep.
But again, no trams.
Right.
So went ahead and got in, and we were ready to check in. So walk up. And why don't you talk about us scanning into the turnstiles, what's missing, and,
there's no fingerprint, but I, like Universal, same thing. Universal doesn't have fingerprints or anything. They were asking for IDs. So, honestly, I hate to say it like this, but I expected no fingerprints means they need to see your ID.
Yeah.
So, I was ready and raring to go, walked up with ID, and showed him, and he just was like, okay. But Jeremy didn't have his out and asked.
No, I was trying to get the ID.
But you didn't have it ready and
100% ready. And I said, "Do you need to see my ID?" And he said, "No."
Oh, I thought you were trying to get it.
No, I had my wallet in my hand, ready to pop it open. Yeah.
So, anyways, they did not need to see it, which I was very surprised at.
Yeah.
Not gonna lie.
That part was interesting. I mean, again, you know, I don't know what measures are behind the scenes. I mean, they're taking photos of you.
Right. But I mean,
is something
what happens if
up?
It was me and Rob instead
right. What
of,
if we had given, yeah, what right. if we had, so you would have taken Rob to Magic Kingdom
no,
annual
pass
holder preview instead of me.
Caleb. All right, how about
okay.
Caleb?
So let's just say you had done that. No, but I think it's a good point. I thought that part was interesting.
Yeah.
You know, and we'll do our best to compare some different things here and there between the way Disney did stuff and Universal did it, which I think both, first of all, have done it outstanding.
Oh, 100%.
But there's certainly a couple little differences.
Yes.
That was one of them. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
And even checking in for our park reservations yesterday at MK and today at Animal Kingdom, it was scan, ban, walk
That's
in.
That's it. Yep.
There was no ID. Of course, they're not doing fingerprints, which makes perfect sense. So let's go over. We got in, castle thoughts. Okay, here's a big thing. What are everybody's thoughts on the newly painted, refurbed, updated castle? What do you think?
So it was weird. Cinderella seeing castle? It on Facebook and seeing it on pictures and whatever. I was just like, eh, whatever. I don't know. There's something about seeing it in person. Like, and when the sun came out.
That's
like,
good.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right.
It's amazing. Like, seeing it when the sun came out, like, I don't know. I actually love it. I mean, Kaylin and I were talking and discussing that we're surprised at the colors because it doesn't seem very Cinderella. It seems more Aurora-ish.
Yeah. Yes.
Which is a little sad.
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, I think we all love it. Like, it's just beautiful. And
yeah.
It was great to see it. And talk about low crowd. Oh, my gosh.
You have never seen Main Street or the castle.
I've never seen it like this ever in my entire life.
Yeah.
Ever.
And what we were actually told today is that during the previews, and this was coming from a cast member working a beverage cart, so, you know, may be accurate, it may be slightly inaccurate, but he said that the previews were around 5% capacity.
That's crazy.
And, I mean, honestly, there were times you could throw a rock and not hit someone. Not that I recommend you throw rocks.
Yeah, don't throw rocks.
Like, especially Magic Kingdom.
No, don't throw
Who's
rocks.
Who's doing that? I don't think there's rocks available. If there is, then you should probably load a cast member and say, hey, man, there's a bunch of rocks over here.
Right. Here's the best way to explain it. Excuse me, that was Animal Kingdom. Peter Pan was a 10-minute wait.
And why
was
it 10 minutes?
Because that is how long it took to, how does Disney say it? Physical distance. They're not calling it social,
yep.
They're calling it physical distance and walk through the queue.
Yep.
That is why it took 10 minutes.
Yep, but That's otherwise it. It's a walk-on.
Yes, it was.
So, you know, we did, you know, Peter Pan, we did Haunted, we did Splash, Pirates, we did Swiss Family. Ron and I were the only two people in the Swiss Family treehouse. Like, it was our treehouse.
We did Jungles,
we did Pirates again, we did Big Thunder Mountain, like, all these things, and you know, pretty much little to no time. So one of the other differences, you know, that we had talked about at Universal was that their team members, before you get on a ride, are physically themselves squirting sanitizer in your hand.
Right.
Right? So what is the difference here at Disney?
Nobody's telling you to sanitize. The only thing they are doing is...
Well, there is an announcement about every 10 minutes that
right.
states to please do all that.
And they're saying to wash your hands and
yeah.
stuff like that. But there are very, very many more sanitized stations
everywhere
than Universal.
Yeah.
Like, so many. So there's one before you get on to a ride.
Well, a lot of them, there's one as you enter the queue, and then there's another one.
Right.
Before you get on the ride.
Correct.
Only difference is, and this is one thing that I hope maybe they'll say, is... The cast members standing there,
they don't.
It would be nice if they said, please sanitize before you get on
right.
the ride.
But
most, I saw 99.9% of people doing it.
Right. Anyway. But if they don't, I think they think it's okay because every 2 hours they are sanitizing the ride vehicles that you get into.
Yeah. Every single one.
Yep. So we came across that with Haunted Mansion.
Mm-hmm.
We came
Seven
across
Dwarves.
That with Seven Dwarves.
Today with Flight of Passage,
yep.
We came across that.
So it depends on how many ride vehicles. I think Seven Dwarves was really quick
mm-hmm.
Because they sanitize it and then they run it through once.
Yep, like an air dry.
Right, but... Haunted Mansion took about 15 minutes because of so many.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, they have one not only when you enter the queue, they have one right before you get on the ride. They have usually one or two as you are getting off as well.
Yep.
The ride.
Yeah. And what they've done is with a lot of those is it'll be 20 to 30 feet after you exit the ride because if it's immediately, you're going to get a bottleneck. So again, they're trying to spread it out.
Yep.
These ones are, I totally get the need for the ones that are censored. But
yeah,
keep an eye on them, because the thing is, if the light is red, like there's a lot of times like people are trying to get through it so quick that it's like squirty squirt, and then you're like, oh, the person in front of me was too soon, so I got to wait a minute. And then once the light is not red anymore, then you can do it again.
Yeah.
So that part, but you know, I thought that was good. Let's talk about some of the things that they have done in the queue that we did not see at Universal. And I would like to be Disney's plexiglass queue.
Oh my gosh. There was a lot of plexiglass. And a lot of things turned off. You know, a lot of things Disney does through the queues is they try to give where it's almost like a play, where you play, you know, you touch the jewels or you wave your hand and water spits out, all this kind of stuff. They've turned those off. There's a lot of plexiglass. In fact, on Mine Train, you know, where it says use both sides and you go down, it's really weird because there's plexiglass going all the way down. And it seems like a tight fit. It's weird. Not bad, just weird. And, you know, some people have joked and been like, oh, I don't want to wear a mask because I'm a little claustrophobic. Talk about claustrophobic.
Yeah, some of those were tight.
Some of the plexiglass is very strange feeling where you're like, oh, wow, that's really close, or really, like, unfortunately.
Especially when, like, you got to the end of Big Thunder Mountain, especially, and it was like, it's kind of a tight fit, but I mean, it makes sense, I guess, because there's certain areas. So certain areas, of course, where you're lining up queues that wrap around, you can still distance people even if they're technically the queue part lines up next to each other. There are areas where you just simply can't.
Right.
And that's where they would put in the plexiglass.
Right.
And again, it's clear, so that part's fine. It just does feel a little closed in, but they're doing everything they can for those extra steps
absolutely.
Of safety.
But it's just funny.
Yeah, it is. It is a little bit.
And it still
strange.
Has everybody all on the ground, as you see, where it says, you know, stand here, you know, and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So that's cool. And then, so food, like if it is a quick service, you have to mobile order.
Yep.
You cannot go up, ask what you want, and then get it.
Yep.
Usually then when they say mobile order, I believe, if I understand and remembered this correctly, then they tell you, all right, and then they have you sit down, and then they bring your food to you, almost like a sit-down. But a sit-down, which we were very well with, we watched and – or not watched, we did. We had quite a few sit-downs. We actually sat down, and that's normal. You sit down. You do have a QR code, though, and you pull up your menu, and then you order off that, and everything is still normal and the same, and they just have the tables where socially distance, or excuse me, physically distance, not socially, and yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, again, everything is laid out well.
No, absolutely.
Everything's been put in, you know, when you're doing these physical distance tables, you know, what they're doing is it's the same amount of tables, but they're putting the signs on ones that say, you
right.
know, for your health and safety, this table is not available at this time.
Right.
Things like that. So I thought all of that was handled very well. If we get to, you know, kind of back to Pop Century, let's talk about that interest, because we got some breakfast, just wanted some bagels and some coffee in the morning at Pop Century.
And that's
right?
The same thing as you would have to do in the park.
Right.
You have to mobile order.
Right. But what was so interesting is the way that they set it up, where you walked into the food court and then everything is blocked off. And there's just cast members and there's tables lined up. And they'll literally prepare your food as you arrive, put it in the bag, and hand it to you.
Right.
Even down to – why don't you talk about the drink situation?
I just started to say, if everybody's wondering about, oh, my gosh, what about, you know, for your length of stay and your – reusable mugs. They still are selling them, but you cannot use them. You just show it to them and tell them that you want a drink, and they will hand you, you tell them what drink you want. They will fill up a paper cup, and you can either pour it into your reusable mug, or you can just continue to drink out of the paper mug.
Yeah.
So I thought that was very neat and also interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a setup that I do think is very different than what Universal did. And I don't know that either one is right or wrong.
Oh, right.
This one is certainly much more I'm trying to think. I think in their minds they're thinking this one is much more safer. There are a lot less contact points, touch points between people and guests. There's a lot of that. So, you know, I do think that that is part of it that Disney's done very well, even though it's odd. And the the only problem is, you know, you can't use cash, right?
Right.
You got to make sure everything's set up. There aren't availability for discounts.
Nope.
Like at Pop Century, technically they take tables in Wonderland.
Right.
So we weren't able to use that.
Right. That did not happen.
Speaking of tables in Wonderland, would you like to talk a little bit about what we found out with our tables in Wonderland?
Yeah, so ours expired February 29th, and we were at Magic Kingdom on our pass holder preview, and we were going to eat at Skipper Canteen. Sit down, air conditioned, just honestly, we are wanting to do more of sit down, not only for the content, but seriously to get out of the heat, to take your mask off, and to just relax. So we were going to renew, so we went up to guest services. Well, they weren't renewing them or anything, and apparently the cast members told us that they even took that whole button, whatever they have to push, off out.
Yeah.
So amazing cast members helped us, and I was telling Jeremy, get your card, let me see, because I'm going to then ask, like, then can we use this? Like, how does this work? So it was funny because he got it out, and she actually, the cast member, asked if she could have it to see. She scanned it, and she said, oh, this is actually valid until November 16th of 2020.
Yeah.
So we were like, yes.
What?
Awesome. We were so excited. But also very shocked because, again, it didn't shut down till March 15th, and technically we could have, in those few weeks, which we were there before it shut down, we could have gotten a new table.
Yeah. I mean, I was, you know, I was so, so thankful they said
very
that.
Thankful.
We were ready to buy a new one. This is one where I know that people have been frustrated with Disney and certain things that have happened and cancellations and changes and communications. And, you know, I really do believe that Disney is figuring a lot of this out as they go as well.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we can certainly, as we said, we can compare small things to Universal. You cannot compare them as a whole.
Right.
Disney reopening, especially when you go and you see these plexiglass dividers and you see the different floor markings and staging areas and you know, all these different sanitization stations. And, you know, this is such a larger level that there's just no way that you can compare the two. And I'm not saying that that's the reason Disney waited almost a month after Universal to open, but I'm also like, that might be the reason that Disney waited a month after Universal to open.
Right.
You know, because they're putting in all these measures that are going above and beyond. They didn't have to extend our tables for sure. Now, if our tables had expired after the date of closure, I could get it,
right.
You know, or during the middle of the closure.
Right.
But there's no way that there was any reason for them to extend it. And I'm very thankful they did.
Oh, absolutely.
So I think that part was awesome.
Yes.
All right. So we've kind of covered the pass holder preview, and we've covered, you know, what all the guidelines look like.
Yeah.
You know, let's talk about opening day, Saturday,
well, I guess we didn't cover
July
the,
11th.
Yeah, I guess we didn't cover the face masks.
Oh,
you know?
For sure. Yeah.
So from what we heard, it does need to be a double layered, which is most any face mask that goes around the ear. So most gaiters are not, and that is why. Even if you have a gaiter with the loops, I saw one woman that she had ear loops and it looked more like a gaiter, but I could see that she had double layer on her, where her face and nose mouth went. And then like, it almost looked like a gypsy where it kind of was like hanging around her neck area. But that is what we have found out that they want. That is the mask criteria.
Yeah.
So, and then, other than that, I think that's
We're
covered.
And they were being, their guests were being amazing about wearing masks. Cast members were being great about enforcing it. I do think there was a little bit more of a lax situation at Universal, where it felt like if you had a drink or food in your hand, you just walked wherever you wanted with it down maybe below your chin.
Yeah.
I feel like Disney is much more short of beverage or food going into your face hole, mask is on.
Yep.
And so I would get into the point of pull down, take a sip, pull up.
Right. Yep.
So let's get into actual opening day.
Okay.
Going to Magic Kingdom. Why don't you start to lead us in with a little bit about, going and waiting for the bus and
started transportation and we were able to catch a bus. Our really good friends Lucy and Caleb, they were staying at Pop Century as well. So we made the plan to go and all hang out together. So with that being said, actually, Lucy and Caleb made it to the bus before we did.
Mm-hmm.
We were having a little bit of problem with the girls, or girl. So we were not out there at their time, but of course, we're with their group, so we were fine. But it was a very, very long line. And we were out there about 8:30. They were out there about 8:30. We were out there at 8:35. It looked like race day.
Yeah.
The line was so long. The bus can only carry about 25 people. And nobody was going to Animal Kingdom, which was kind of funny and sad. We saw one bus to Magic Kingdom to three buses to Animal Kingdom. Yeah. And it was starting to get frustrating. We were like, all right, well, finally, at about 9 o'clock for sure, maybe a little before, I think somebody called somebody and they were like, all right. And there was 6 to 12 buses right after each other. Like, mm-hmm. There was like four in line. Mm-hmm. Like, I was, oh my gosh, there's another one. So it was our time to get on a bus, and there's six of us in our party. So along the back of the bus, they have five seats. So then the two on each side, so four seats, they weren't sitting in. So then they sat you in a number, and which was weird because you're like, okay, now you're not even with our group. Why can't he sit in this seat that's supposed to be not sat in because he's our group? The next thing we know, Jeremy is not only by himself, but he's sitting 6 inches from people he doesn't even know across from.
Well, I mean, not 6 inches, but they're across from me. You know what the buses look like.
Yeah, but you're pretty close.
They're in a zone. From our understanding, it was going to be one family per zone. Even if you were one person, you would take up a whole zone. Problem was, we overflowed a zone, and I don't think the bus driver knew what to do. And I don't think that's his fault. I don't know that.
I don't think he knew.
I don't think that he had been told exactly how to handle.
Right.
And we're talking about a point where we had lined, people had been lined up for a long time.
Right.
Now, they were starting to bring bus after bus after bus, and they're loading them quickly. But I think he was just so concerned with, I don't want a bunch of unhappy people.
Right.
And it was just confusing.
Because then he sits a stranger right next to you.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman in front of Jeremy, because Caleb and I were kind of like, or I was saying something because the kids were there and Caleb, I think, was the closest, or maybe Caleb said something. But anyways, we were kind of trying to discuss, like, that's just weird. Why wouldn't Jeremy sit in a non-sitting seat because he's with us? And then we were trying to figure things out. And I guess the lady in front of you heard me. And then so she starts to, like, excuse me, sir, and talking to the bus driver. And was like, he doesn't even, that's not his party. Like, yeah. He doesn't. So Jeremy actually moved to the non-seat that you're supposed to sit in. He was like, well, I'll sit here until the bus driver tells me not to.
Yeah.
So then, you know, everything was fine, and we head on to Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
So we get up to Magic Kingdom, and you were able, I guess the Contemporary was open, so you were able to walk from the Contemporary, and they had their screening and their bag check. For some reason, and I don't know how, I don't know why, but the bus proceeds to drop us off after the screening from the Contemporary on that walkway. So we get off, and everybody gets off, and we're in this really long line. We have no idea what the line's for. We're like, holy crap, is this the screening and the bag check? This is crazy. So some gentleman, a few people up, is like, no, this is guest services. And we're like, okay. So all of a sudden, all these people start walking around. So we get in, or actually get out of the line, and we start walking around as well, and realize that we haven't been screened for temperature, and we are not going through security. All we have to do is scan to get in, and then we can get
in. That's a turnstile.
And that, we were like, whoa.
Yeah, this isn't good.
Something is wrong. Something messed up. So Jeremy, being the person that he is, he was like, this is not right. So he immediately tried to go find a manager on security area and said, hey, this is, and even other people were walking past. And this one lady was like, I do not feel right about this. So I said, yeah, my husband is saying something. And then our good friend Lucy, she was like, well, let's do it right. So we actually went, and here's what's funny. We tried to go back out of security and come back through. And the guy was like, almost like, wait, what are you doing? And I was like, we were not screened at all. And then he was like, oh. And so then we went back through and did it right. The temperature checks were much further away. There was none around, so we did not go through that.
Right.
But, I mean, again, we were fine. I didn't feel that was horrible. But we did what was right, and then we went through the turnstiles.
Yeah. And we saw, you know, we talked to managers and we talked to everyone, and they were very unaware of the situation that was happening.
Correct.
And I know this is something that kind of took off, you know, a little bit on social media. And for us, I don't want anyone to think that that hiccup had anything to do with what the rest of the opening would
Correct.
Look like. You know, we're talking about Disney. This is on a mass scale.
Right.
And so we just want to kind of give our personal opinions and hopefully tell two sides of one story.
Right.
I thought that what happened was definitely a big error.
Absolutely.
On Disney's part.
Absolutely.
I don't think at any moment was Disney like, whatever, I'm just drop these guys off over here.
No.
I mean, I think it was something that was when you're looking at 1,000 moving pieces, this one piece did not move.
Right.
And it was troubling, and I do think that it was not a good situation, but I know that Disney did everything they could to immediately rectify.
Absolutely.
And I think, you know, it was funny because when we were on the bus with the lady across from me that was like, wait, something's not right the way they're sitting us in these zones. And he kind of said, she was like, look, you know, this isn't just up to Disney. This is up to us as guests. Disney can put the markers
Absolutely.
On the floors. They can put the sanitizer out. They can have cast members telling you what to do. You have to, as a guest and as a person, also adhere to those and look out for each other. And that's
right.
what we were trying to do, and that's why we went and found a manager and security and said, hey,
right.
we want to let you know this is what happened.
Right.
We want to make sure you're aware because it is something that needs to be fixed.
Right.
From that moment on, to this moment right now as we sit here and record this, I think everything else was to an absolute perfection.
Absolutely. And I mean, it was an unfortunate situation, but I mean, you know, everybody still had their mask on. It wasn't like, you're walking through people coughing and sneezing and all kinds of stuff. I didn't feel unsafe that way by any means. And again, everything they do, every 2 hours, they're cleaning all of the ride vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
And there is sanitation stations everywhere. And there are also a few where they have the pop-up wash your hands stations as well. And yeah, everything that Disney did after that, it was just seamless and it was perfect. And even Lucy and Caleb, they completely thought the same thing. Like, I mean, it was a mishap. It was a mess up. It was something on somebody's communication or hey, this bus just dropped off there. And maybe that was a bus that actually screamed at the resort. I don't know. But the situation was, hey, I followed this person and did what I dropping off these people here. And well, that they shouldn't have done that. So, you know, I mean, but they worked it out.
Yeah.
They fixed it. Everything was fine.
Yep.
So.
I'll say it again. Everything's gone so smoothly and well since then. Mm-hmm. And we experienced a wonderful opening day at Magic Kingdom.
Yep.
You know, parks are at a very, very low capacity,
yeah,
which is both amazing but sad. You know, it's weird to think like you look down Main Street, and as much as you used to look down Main Street and maybe think, holy moly, look at all these frickin' people.
Right.
Now you look down and you're like, oh my God, this is amazing. There's no one here. And you're kind of like, that's sad. It's a right?
It is, but I think there's a lot of people that, you know, they might not want to because of the mask, or they might not want to of this. I mean, I would say, you know, this is where you just be prepared. I would say if you're hesitant because of, you know, reasons of maybe like you're nervous because you don't know these people from these people, well, you know, I think Disney's doing everything and the guests are doing everything that they should be doing that I feel safe enough, you know, around that.
Yeah.
But if you're worried about wearing a mask, you know, my thing would be just go ahead and wear it and then take breaks. There are relaxation stations,
yep,
around, just like there are at Universal.
Or dine.
Or
you know, sit down. Maybe it's a good time to plan some table service,
yep,
meals,
yep,
where you can remove it and air conditioning and relax,
right,
and, you know, hydrate and all.
Yep.
Today we did Animal Kingdom. And again, it was much of the same. Now, Animal Kingdom check-in was so smooth. You know, we actually drove over, but getting through their new security, which is gorgeous. They've got new machines, like the metal detector machines,
yep,
which ran so smooth. Again, it was a very, very empty park today. We rode Flight of Passage twice, which were pretty much walk-ons. We pretty much walked
Flight
on
Flight of Passage
everything.
Said a 5-minute wait.
Yeah, at one point. And
I've never seen that.
And the 5 minutes, again, was you walking through the queue.
It was.
So I don't know, you know, I mean, we're gonna go ahead and next week we'll be at Epcot and Hollywood Studios.
Yep.
I don't think that we're going to be able to bring any sort of groundbreaking information, but, you know, it's going to be much the same, but we can let you know about certain things and the way they work. here was a big thing that I thought was interesting, you know, because we've said over the past, you know, couple months as we started to see restrictions and guidelines, we've had people ask, well, this is our once in a year trip or our once every other year or our first trip. Do you recommend we still come and spend the money? And I think we were leaning towards no, we don't know that you do based on everything.
Right.
What,
but now,
what do you think now?
Part of me would say yes, because you have the ability to not wait in long lines.
Mm-hmm.
You have the ability to ride most of everything. If you're worried about seeing the parade, you know, well, you don't get that, but you,
mm-hmm,
get small spurts of maybe a float here or a float there, you know, of just like, you know, Tinkerbell or Minnie and Mickey and, you know, spaced out quite a bit. And it was, nobody has to rope it off or anything. There's a lot of cast members around.
Yeah.
But it's amazing. And character meet and greets, you know, you don't have those, but, you know, I mean, you can, you do, characters aren't like disappeared. You do see
right.
them out and about.
Where do you see them in Animal Kingdom, Rhonda?
Well, on a boat.
On a boat. Don't you ever forget.
That was really neat. So
that was so cool.
It goes around the entire park. And so they put, we saw, let's see, Minnie, Mickey.
Pluto.
Pluto. Donald, Daisy, the chipmunks
yep.
as the dinos.
Pocahontas and Miko.
Pocahontas and Miko. Goofy.
And a band. That was
Yeah,
cool.
I mean, it was really, really cool, and it was neat. Oh, Rafiki.
Yep.
So, yeah, it was really cool, and you could take pictures. You couldn't take pictures with them, but at Magic Kingdom, you had a whole bunch of princesses
yeah.
up on the train station, so on the second floor, or technically the third. But anyways, it was really cool, and they didn't have their mask on, so that was awesome, and then you had, when we were actually leaving, there was Minnie and Mickey. And so, I mean, technically, you could take pictures.
Yeah.
You know, you could turn around and take
yeah.
pictures or whatever. But, yeah, it was, I don't know. I don't feel like I missed out. I mean, you know, I wasn't there at night.
Right.
Which, it's not really night anyways.
Well, you can't because they're closing at 6
seven.
And 7 or so. Yeah.
So, you know, you're... doesn't really get dark until
yeah.
it's 9 o'clock now because the time and the
right.
difference and everything. But yeah, I mean, it was, I don't feel like I missed anything.
Yeah.
Like I loved it. It was amazing.
Yeah, it was, you know, I kind of agree with you. I do still think it needs to be, well, there's a lot of risk versus reward, obviously, you know, I mean,
oh,
this
yeah.
is something, but I'll say it again. I have felt more safe at Universal, more safe at Disney. I know that, right now, Florida is, I'll say, on fire. You know, I mean, with the way the cases are going,
right.
You know, think what you may based on those statistics and accuracy and whatever. We're not getting into any of that.
Nope.
But I get it. I still would much rather walk into a Disney park than I would my local restaurant or Publix sometimes, as me myself.
Right,
safety
because
precautions.
We know what they're doing,
yes.
where you have to wear a mask. And then we found out today at Animal Kingdom, we sat at Nomad Lounge and ate. And also, the reason there is less food and less
menu items. They take a lot of menu items
like,
off of different menus.
It's actually because Jeremy actually overheard manager Will. Speaking. And it is because of actually physical distancing in the kitchen
mm-hmm.
and with cooks, even
yep.
though they have masks on.
Yep.
So I found that very interesting and almost it made me feel better too.
Yeah. It was so he was explaining it in a sense of, let's just say that you had, and this is kind of what I overheard. Like I'm trying to eavesdrop, but he was still a little far away and he's wearing a mask, which communication can be tough.
It can.
There's a lot of yelling going
yes.
on. You know, you're like,
yep.
you know, yeah, I would like a Mickey pretzel. What? I would like a Mickey pretzel. You're just screaming through a mask. But
yeah.
anyway, so he was saying, let's just say you have two separate dishes that need to be sauteed. And you have two saute stations. You can't have two chefs doing that at the
yep.
same time next to each other.
Yep.
Which I thought was interesting. Before we wrap up, a couple of things, you know, ride vehicle wise, there are also some modifications to ride vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
That we did not see at Universal. Universal tends to just separate you.
Yep.
Some of these, like Kilimanjaro Safari, they're literally plastic barriers between every single row.
So they're
able
you.
To fill the rows.
Yep.
Dinosaur.
Yep.
After there's three rows in Dinosaur. After the first row, there is a giant plexiglass barrier.
Right.
So there is
but
some of that
going
on. But
then they keep the row two
yeah.
vacant.
Yeah.
And then put people in row three.
So let's, you know, I think we kind of, you know, we don't want to tell anybody how to do your vacation in a sense of
no.
saying, should I go? I don't want to say yes. And then you get here and you're like, oh my God, why'd you tell us to come? This was miserable. But did you feel, how much did you feel that the magic was lost with the restrictions and guidelines and plexiglass and, you know, stuff like that?
Because
I think that's important.
Yeah, I don't feel like it was really lost. I mean, I think it's just different, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, do you? What do you think?
No, I agree. And I can tell you the time, you know, I've said for the past several weeks, and part in jest and part somewhat serious, that I thought I would just cry like a man baby when I saw the castle, right?
Right.
I didn't. You know what I almost did? When we pulled into security and he said, welcome home. When I walked into Pop Century and they were applauding.
Yeah.
When we walked down Main Street and there's cast members just, and you can see they're smiling and you can see them waving. And how many cast members told us today, we are so glad you're back.
Yeah.
And we're like, we're glad you're
back.
Yeah,
we're glad we're back.
We're glad
we're
to
glad,
be back.
Yeah,
so
we're glad to be back.
Those are the moments that got me. Also, Flight of Passage.
Yeah.
Something. I think like there was dirt or something. Dirt got in my eye at one point or something. There were some tears coming out. And I was like, yeah, something got in my eye. What's happening? But I, you know, we talked about a few moments that I think Disney maybe had a hiccup. But if you think about the mass scale and you think about what Disney's doing, I thought this went perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to continue to go very, very well as long as guests do their part. You know, cast members will continue to do their part. They're so happy to have us back.
Yep.
We are so happy to be back, even if it's different. You know, if you want to reach out to us personally and ask more questions about your specific family's vacation and what that may look like, please do. If you're looking at booking, you know, a future trip here in 2020, as things continue to open up, or 2021, please go to travelwithzip.com. We can't thank you guys enough. There's going to be a lot more of this coming. We have so many dining reviews coming, by the way.
Yeah.
Like 1,000, I feel like.
Yep.
We've eaten a lot of food this weekend. So we're excited to bring all that to you. Don't forget to check out all the other network shows, you know, Monday through Friday, or Monday through Thursday, and then Club 32 on Friday coming soon. We appreciate you guys. We thank you so much for listening. If you've not already subscribed, please do so now. Go ahead and subscribe to Capture the Magic Universal, to Capture the Magic Podcast, and the Diz Dudes. And as long as you're out there, I feel like you should leave all of us a rating and review.
Because it helps all of our shows grow.
That's all we've got. We'll see you real soon.